Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Eric Flack is going to join us here in just a moment. I should have put on let me put on channel 9 over here. Because then Anthony, I will know when he's done on TV. See, the Eric Flack is currently talking on television, Anthony. See, you right. There he is. There's our guy. NFL draft in DC. Oh, it looks like they're wrapping up the segment. They're doing the crosstalk with the anchors right now. It looks like we're moving on. Flack is no longer the pick. I think you're free to call Eric Flack now. That's live radio meets live television, boys and girls. That we were literally waiting for Flack to get off set. We're going to keep him as long as we can, but then he's got to go back and do his... Y'all get how this works. Eric is going to join us as he has been anchoring the coverage all day for WSA9. And of course, he has been reporting on everything around RFK Stadium and all this stuff for a long time. Eric has a really in-depth knowledge of the way city council works. And on top of the hey, this is cool, the draft is coming to DC part of this, I think this is also a massive political play and kind of a safety net for the Commanders to get the RFK site. Basically telling city council, hey, if you do not do what we want, we have another method. I'm going to test that theory now with Eric because it's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
All right, Flack is off of television. He is with us now. We were literally watching you, Eric. We were like, okay, he's done. Call him. Call him. Do it now, Anthony.
Appreciate that, Hoffman.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Yeah, it made for great radio, let me tell you. Me watching you made for exceptional radio.
Wonderful.
Outside of the, like, oh, this will be kind of cool elements of this, Eric, my first thought was this is a savagely strategic play by Josh Harris and Roger Goodell to say, hey, DC City Council and Mayor Bowser, if you guys don't, Mayor Bowser on the Harris-Goodell side, saying, City Council, if you don't come to terms and we can't figure out a deal, the federal government looms over all of our RFK stuff. And now we got the federal government on our side as they involve them with the announcement of today's draft. Is that reading too much into this, or is that absolutely part of what just happened here today as the NFL in the Oval Office announces that the 2027 NFL draft is coming to DC?
Not at all, Craig. And I kind of had the same sort of feeling when I was watching that press conference, almost like the train has left the station on this RFK site with the new Commanders Stadium. And, you know, DC Council, you can stomp your feet and wring your hands all you want, clutch your pearls all you want, but this is a foregone conclusion in our eyes, and we are just assuming that this is going to happen. Now, ultimately, the D.C. Council does control the purse strings, and it's kind of going to be an interesting question to monitor as we go forward these next couple months as to where this kind of game of chicken ends. And, you know, ultimately, is this a bluff or are they really willing to you know, put their money in their mouth where their threats are and their actions where their threats are and really vote against this deal. But it certainly seems as though this was another huge, you know, sign that the forces that be in the kind of greater NFL sphere are aligning to get this stadium on the RFK site done one way or the other. And at this point, it is the council members who are claiming opposition to this plan, the only ones left standing in the way.
So can we take a step back, Eric, as someone who covers city council on a regular basis and knows the inner workings here and how the federal government can get involved? Because I didn't realize until I saw some extra reporting on this late in the week last week that despite the fact that the federal government and Congress cleared this out to say, like, hey, D.C., this is your land now. We're leasing it to you. Do with it what you want. That they can renege on that lease, that they have like an emergency escape hatch. How does that work, and how real do you think the threat is that now, especially that he's been involved in this draft thing, President Trump might look at Congress and go, hey, take the land back and we'll build the football stadium. Is that a real threat here?
I certainly think that anything is possible in this current administration. And I think that there is nothing that is impossible when it comes to what's happening in Washington right now. It is clear that there was language included in the legislation that denotes, you know, the priority of putting an NFL stadium there. And clearly it's not the only thing it can be used for, but you know, the escape hatch, as you mentioned, I think was clearly included to give all those behind the stadium options moving forward. I think the people writing the agreement and who were lobbying Congress on behalf of the team, who are the same people who are lobbying now the D.C. council members, understood that there are always going to be a lot of wild cards when you're dealing with approval of a, you know, $1.1 billion taxpayer-funded package that comes down to 12, you know, citizens / council members of Washington, D.C., and they wanted to give themselves options. That being said, I also think a lot is unclear about the kind of the machinations of how such a process would really work, and would, you know, the federal government actually be able to step in? Because, I mean, sure, they can ultimately say, you know, okay, D.C. Council, you don't do the stadium, we'll get it done for you. But that also means that they would presumably still have to come up with the money that D.C. Council was supposed to come up with at a time when the mission in Washington with the current administration is to go in the other direction, not to add spending, but to cut spending. So, you know, I think that a lot is still unclear about how that would work. I think the threat of certain things happening, you know, sometimes is enough to get things done. But I think all of this is kind of, we're all kind of like figuring this out on the fly and learning on the fly as to how such a process would work if we get there. But I still don't think we'll get there. I think D.C. Council will ultimately get this done.
Eric Flack, WUSA9, chief investigative reporter with us here on the Hoffman Show. It's been a week since this announcement happened, the initial one about RFK with Mayor Bowser and Josh Harris and Roger Goodell. So what What have you learned in the week since that you found interesting, whether it's what specific DC City Council members want, maybe some misunderstandings that the two sides are fighting over that you think are interesting and poignant? Like, in the week that has been since the initial announcement, Eric, what's the main thing or two that you are excited to continue to follow over the next couple of months that's going to make or break this thing?
I think it's important for your listeners and my viewers and all of our readers to keep in mind that, you know, for council members to say they have concerns is really a long way from saying they're going to vote against it. And if you look at the tweet, for instance, of Councilmember Zachary Parker, who a lot of people, you know, I saw it as a very pro stadium post, and a lot of people, you know, added me and said, well, how can you say this? He's saying he's going to vote against it. And I think words matter. And, you know, Parker, in a very long statement, one of the 12 council members said, you know, I oppose any taxpayer money for, and he used the words, vertical construction of a new stadium. And it's important to note that vertical construction of a new stadium is the building of the stadium itself, the actual stadium where, you know, you pay a ticket and go inside and order your hot dog and your beer and you go watch the game. The horizontal construction is all the stuff to prepare the land, and it's expensive for the stadium to go on top of it. And that is what the majority of DC's tax dollars are going to. So my point being that, like, when somebody issues a long statement and goes to the effort to make a distinction, I oppose taxpayer money for this type of construction, they're clearly leaving the door open to, but I'm okay with taxpayer money for other types of the construction. So they're kind of leaving themselves a little rope, so to speak, to ultimately support the plan. Mendelson, who's the chairman of the DC Council, is strong in talking about concerns about, you know, taxpayer money being used for a stadium. But he always hedges his bets as far as, well, but I haven't seen the plan and I haven't done this and that. And, you know, we all kind of know what the deal is. There's nothing he's going to see in the budget that's going to ultimately change what we already know to be true, the details that have already been provided. So I think everybody, even as on the DC Council, as they kind of give the window dressing of having concerns about this, the majority, except for the two who were clearly no votes, which are Allen and Nadeau, have given themselves room to kind of ultimately come around. And I think from a political standpoint, it's going to be interesting to see the dance happen where, you know, politicians do what politicians think they're expected to do, which is to, you know, bring up concerns and raise red flags. But ultimately, I think that there's just too much momentum and too much need in Washington, D.C. For economic development, for a $2.7 billion private sector investment to be passed on by D.C. Council as a whole.
Eric Flack with us. I'm looking back up at your television station. They're doing the weather right now. Do I have time for one more quick question here, or you need to get back on set?
Nope.
Okay. All good. So the big announcement today, is also totally separate from this RFK thing, and that, oh my God, they're hosting the NFL draft here in 2027. This is a presidential inauguration-sized event. D.C. knows how to do this, even if it's obviously very different from a presidential inauguration. But what were some of the things that you found interesting from the press conference and some of the questions you have about D.C.'s ability to host a million people over 3 days on the National Mall with all the concerts and the this and the that that is happening? Because having gone to the 2024 draft in Detroit, like, that thing shut down the city. It's a massive, massive event. D.C.'s obviously built on some level for this, but what are the things that you're looking forward to hearing about when it comes to the actual draft itself?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, I think it's a win for the city. I think that the million person figure is something that is being thrown out by the league and thrown out by, you know, Josh Harris, and that's certainly a goal. I mean, they got, 750 in Detroit. They got 600 in Green Bay last a couple weeks ago or what have you. So I think that million person figure is based on, projections that it's going to get bigger and bigger. And keep in mind, you're not talking about a million people on the mall at once. I mean, that's the figure that's spread out over 3 days. So, you know, they had, 200,000 on day one in Green Bay. I think they had more than that in Detroit. But you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people down on the mall, not a million. I think that it will be a huge logistical nightmare, but I think the city is well versed. I think there will be a ton of security around it. That's where my head goes. Because in this world we are living in, and what a huge open target the National Mall is, and you combine the open target of the National Mall with the brand that signifies America and corporate America, which is the NFL, you add them both together with hundreds of thousands of people on the National Mall, you are going to have some of the tightest grid security you've ever had, because you're going to have to block, the goal is to give people access to the site. That's the celebration of the league. And that's the whole idea of drawing all those people there. On the other hand, you're going to have to do it in a way where nobody with ill intent can get inside and do damage. So I think that is probably, as an investigative guy, as a news guy, if we're looking at for the what is, not all about the positivity and the celebration and the concern, I think that would be my initial concern, is how do you do this in the nation's capital with hundreds of thousands of people on the National Mall in a way that is going to be safe and protected by anybody who has a nefarious intent.
Yes. I opened the show today, Eric, by saying part of the way that's going to happen is it's going to be a pain in the ass for those of us that live here. So if you are someone who likes to get out when there are big events and Airbnb your house, you should go ahead and start planning your vacation now. Because get the hell out of here. Now, for sports fans, going to be a lot of fun, but it is going to be like the NFL is, they've got a lot of experience. A lot of their events, the Super Bowl is a like whatever the top tier security threat event is. So they've got a lot of experience. The folks who run the mall have a lot of experience, but it is definitely going to be a ton of logistics that have to be figured out in the next 2 years to make this thing go off without a hitch.
Absolutely. And it'll be very similar, I think, their blueprint is obviously going to be the fireworks on the National Mall, which they have had to, lock down from a security standpoint for some time now. Now, this, especially on night one, is going to draw more people than that. But, the blueprint and the concept is there. It's just going to be about, extrapolating that out for the sheer masses of people who are going to be here for the NFL draft.
I'm also curious, where's the media center? Are we just going to post up in like a Smithsonian or something? Like there's not a lot
They said that there was, 1,800 media members at the one in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So they have a whole we'll probably be in the Washington Convention Center or something like that. Maybe they'll set us up in the National Portrait Gallery.
Portrait gallery makes more sense. I mean, but even then, like, that's kind of far away. I don't know. They got a couple of years to figure it out. And as someone who
will be in a trailer, you and me will be sharing a small desk in a trailer next to each other.
I would be honored to be invited to the Eric Flack celebrity trailer any day of the week.
You have an invitation anytime you want it, Hoffman.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll look up and see you on television here shortly.
You got it.
All right, okay. That's Eric Flack with us here on the Hoffman Show, and no, really, he's headed back to the set. WUSA 9 is where you can watch more of his reporting on everything in terms of the draft to D.C., and then obviously over the next couple of months, the Commanders' eventual return to RFK Stadium. Anthony, you ready for one of your favorite parts of the show?
Yeah.
It's where I look at you and I forget what we're doing next. And I go, Anthony, what are we doing next? What did we put in the rundown for 5:30?
A great question, Craig.
With the sheets are right. Do you not have it open? Because I didn't have it open. I forgot to open it while Flack was on the show.
Next we have...
Are we doing NBA playoffs next? Are we doing... I know we got the weekend in review coming up in a little bit.
Okay, next we have... Oh, we're supposed to do calls.
Oh, okay. Calls.
So that's what we were doing.
Which means we need you. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. The NFL draft is coming to the District of Columbia in 2027. How you feeling about it? 301-230-0980. We take your calls next.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Taking your phone calls at 301-230-0980. The NFL draft is coming to Washington, D.C. It was announced this morning in the Oval Office. And 2027, that's when it's coming. The draft is going to... theoretically take place. Everyone keeps saying, like, with the expectation. So there's still, I guess, some I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed. But it's going to happen on the National Mall. There's these photos that are out, the drawings or the... Anthony, what's the fancy word for the renderings? Renderings of what it's going to look like. They included in the PR email one that was, like, from the podium. So like Roger Goodell's vantage point, looking out over the mall. There's a lot of people there in the picture.
It looks mad sweet.
Yeah. Renderings always do. And I will say, you know, we talked about this a little earlier on in the show. And again, you can join the conversation at 301-230-0980. The NFL's really, really good at making things feel big. And they will take whatever steps are necessary. They will shut down streets. They will shut down this. They will do that. They will do whatever they need to do to make sure that the event goes off the way they want it to. There's a huge influx of people for the city. And I don't know what event, frankly, could bring in more unless you did like one of these like Live Aid type of charity concerts. Like, we're talking about a million people that probably would not come in. And I think that's the other thing, too, is, you know, for a city like D.C., for a city or like L.A., New York, Chicago, having a large influx of people on a weekend in the spring it can happen for any number of reasons. There's all kinds of, whether it's, you know, races, people come to run a half marathon or a full marathon. People come for concerts, like shows. There are all kinds of reasons come in, but rarely are the events this big. Outside of a couple of protest marches in the last 8 years, I can't remember, you know, going back to like President Obama's inaugurations, especially 2008, there just aren't a lot of things that bring in this number of people. In the last, let's see, that was 2008, and we're in 2025, so that's almost 20 full years. And that, because it's NFL fans coming in from around the country, and it's a fan event, not like a political event. You're not coming for a march. You're not coming to see a politician. Like, you're coming for a more fan type of experience, coming in the same way you would come somewhere for a concert. I think the economic boon is significantly bigger. One, you have volume. Two, you have people coming with the intention of spending money. And I think that's going to be great for the city. Restaurants are going to be full. And yeah, it's going to be on some level probably a pain in the butt for those of us that live here. If you're anywhere around, like, you're going to notice there are some times when there's like big marches and stuff, if you live in the district, that you're like, oh, I guess there's a protest happening this weekend. Or obviously if you are around Marine Corps Marathon weekend, or if you are anywhere near the course for the DC Rock and Roll Half, like, they shut down large parts of the city and you're like, okay, my life is affected. I can't get anywhere, or I can't do this, I can't do that. You are going to know that the NFL draft is here. There are other things that happen, whether they be politically or concert-wise, that you don't know. It's just another night at Capital One Arena, or it's another protest that wasn't nearly as big. Maybe it causes big news headlines, but you can live in D.C. and not realize it's happening a mile and a half, 2 miles away. This, the whole region's going to feel. It is that big of an event, having, again, been to the one in Detroit in 2024 and seeing how these things go down. 301-230-0980. Dennis has a question for us. Dennis, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Greg. How other than people spending money, do they make money on this? Do you get into a lottery and have to pay for a ticket to get there? I've been on the mall many times with fireworks with hundreds of thousands. Go back to the 70s with the Beach Boys playing, and there was probably 300,000 there. So they can handle the people. But we went, and you could just go to the mall. But what would you do with this? Are there tickets, or is it just cram people there and have fun, and do people have to pay for it?
That is a great question. And I, to be honest, because I went as a media person, let's see. NFL one. I think that there is like a registration system, and that is kind of how it goes down. There are like VIP packages and there's activations and things. Now there's the NFL fan experience, which they say is like the best fan experience event on the planet. And it's pretty cool. Like you can go run 40-yard dashes. They have like bag drills. Like you can go do a bunch of really fun football stuff. It's really cool for kids to be able to do that stuff. Like having been to the one at the Super Bowl, like the NFL experience is very, very cool. The NFL, for all of the things that I love to bash them for, because they're a big giant conglomerate who at times deserves criticism, they do a lot of this stuff really, really well. And they put on entertainment events at a very, very high level. But I think when you're talking about the money for the city, you're talking about the tax revenue that you generate from all the extra people coming to hotels. There is a, you know, obviously a tax involved with that that's specific to lodging. All the extra people that go to restaurants and the food and beverage taxes. So for the city, And the people in the city, like if you're an Uber driver or a taxi driver, you're going to make a lot of money that weekend. I'm sure there are people that will sign up to drive Uber just for that weekend because your services will be needed. You'll be getting surge fares. And like, I hope that you're, if you're, I just feel bad for like some group of friends that just wants to go get some drinks. And they're like, what are these prices? Because they didn't realize the NFL draft is happening. So they got 2 years to figure out what that weekend is and go get drinks somewhere else or come up with alternative transportation. But I think when you talk about the money-making element of it for the city, Dennis, it really comes down to more people using more goods and more services that are out-of-towners that wouldn't otherwise be here. And that's the surplus of revenue generated. And then as long as that revenue doesn't outweigh the costs to put an event like this on, it becomes a positive cash flow for the city.
Gotcha. It's like Taylor Swift coming to a city, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And I do wonder too, and this is something that I don't think that anybody really knows yet, but I'm going to be curious, is because this is on the National Mall, like this is federally controlled land. I don't know how much the district is going to pay for this, which I hope, Dennis, is a secret we can keep in between all of us here in the district. Because let me tell you, when we were going through the RFK thing back in December, and you know Elon Musk was putting out his version of information, I'll phrase it that way, that federal taxpayers were going to somehow be paying for RFK Stadium, which was never true. It's full on misinformation. He either misunderstood it or was intentionally doing it, and I'm not getting into that fight. But the comment sections of people that were like, I'm not paying for your stadium because I live in Nebraska. Let's just say there was a lot of those. And I do wonder if someone, Joe in Nebraska and Tom in Timbuktu, are going to wind up paying for the Commanders and the city to host the NFL draft, because it's going to come out of some federal budget that technically we're all paying in, and we're probably not paying a whole bunch per citizen, but that is a thing that I think about. But in terms of how the city makes money, I don't think that
that'll be interesting.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say, Dennis, real quick, is that the NFL often, when they do these events, they also make charitable donations. They do, hey, we'll fund a park here. We're going to build a playground. We're going to do that. So I think that there's also an effort by the NFL. Some of it is certainly for good, to make sure they get good PR. But hey, sometimes good PR is because you do good things, that they also make investments in the city. And hopefully that is something that happens as well.
Yeah. Well, at my age, I'm 73. And to see this NFL grow to something like this, where this is as big as, like I'd mentioned, a Taylor Swift concert, beyond belief how big this has grown. It's just amazing.
Totally, Dennis. Hey, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much. It's a great question, and appreciate you chiming in. The other thing, too, that, you know, on that point, Anthony, I was actually looking in the press release. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Like, the NFL draft being like this is not really that, like, obviously this version of it where it's outside of New York and in Radio City Music Hall. Like, for the first, like, 50 years of the NFL draft, 60 years of the NFL draft, it was in a hotel somewhere. I'm trying to, where did
a hotel?
Yeah. Where did it go? That's Mystix PR. Where's NFL draft? Which email account? Looking at the wrong account. I promise this will be worth it. Yeah, okay. D.C. to host 2027 NFL draft. So 1936 was the first NFL draft, Anthony. It was at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia. Then hotel in New York, hotel in Chicago, hotel in New York, on down. Milwaukee. It was held in D.C. in 1941 at the Willard Hotel. Go down all the way. It's all hotels, and they're just like in ballrooms in hotels, and they'd set up all these tables, and it was much more about the formactics of the draft. The players weren't there getting jerseys. They didn't come up on stage. It wasn't until 1986 that it had like a somewhat permanent home. I mean, it was in New York, started rotating around from 1965 on. So it's Summit Hotel, Hotel Gotham, Belmont Plaza Hotel, the Essex House, Americana Hotel, Hilton, Roosevelt, Waldorf, Sheraton, and then Omni Park Central. And then from 1986 to 1994, it's at the Marriott Marquis in New York. Then in 1995, they turn it into an event. 95, it goes to the theater at Madison Square Garden. It's there till 2004. 2005, it's at the Javits Center, which is the big convention center in New York. And then from 06 to 2014, which is what we, most of us, you and I, like our age, remember, it's at Radio City Music Hall. And it's a big event, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2015 is the first time they take it out of New York since the 60s. And now it's the big, like, hey, we're doing it at Grant Park in Chicago, Benjamin Franklin Parkway in Philly, AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Like, on down the list of cities until you get to Pittsburgh next year and then D.C. in 2027. So it's not since the mid-90s that they've had these, like, the fact that, like, the players were there and getting jerseys and the whole deal in the first place. So it is 30 years this year that that is even a thing compared to just a bunch of crusty executives in a room making phone calls, being like, hey, all right, who are we taking? Take the card in, walking it up, and the commissioner going to a the commissioner, you know, making the announcement and everyone learning that way.
Yeah, I mean, it just grew into, like, be a huge spectacle for, you know, the NFL. So it's
what the NFL does. They're a spectacle creation machine. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Speaking of spectacles, Formula One in Miami this weekend was crazy. Plus, there were so many other things that happened in the world of sports. We'll get you caught up in our weekend in review, brought to you by, you'll find out next on the Team 980.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anthony, what if I told you this is the second time today that the song Tootsie Roll was entering my life?
Really?
I was coaching my fitness class this morning, and I got a request for like, yo, can we bank the music like some jock jams? Like, can we need like Tootsie Roll or something? And I was like, haven't gotten that one in a while.
Oh, that is great. That's so random.
Yeah. We use a music service, so it actually was like harder than I wanted it to be to make that request happen.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, you have to have the proper licensing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you do.
Otherwise, they will come after you. So I couldn't like just immediately be like, oh, yeah, sure. Let me just pull it up on Spotify or whatever. So, yeah, that was the thing that happened earlier today. And then you just played that song.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wild. Wild. You know what else is wild, Anthony?
What else is wild?
That our weekend in review is still sponsored by?
I think nobody, correct?
That's correct. You know what else is wild, Anthony?
The Kentucky Derby?
That was wild. It was rainy and muddy and a mess. I was going to start Friday night, though. Audi Field, Washington Spirit. Again,
no.
Go down 2-0 early. Not good. Not good. Things are bad. We're not feeling good. They lost 3-0 on a bad first half the previous Saturday. And then things start poorly on Friday night, and you're going, really? This is what we're doing? This is how we're going to ball? And then they're like, no. Come back, get 2 on the board, tied up at halftime 2-2. Okay, cool. Now we're rolling.
That's what I saw.
Yeah. And then they gave up another goal. You're like, son of a biscuit. Then they scored again, 3-3.
Ooh.
But, Anthony, NWSL, the league is famous for its night games being extra chaotic. Call it just like Pac-12 after dark. Uh-huh. Back in the day, NWSL after dark. Ripe for some NWSL chaos. And we were on the wrong end of it. They lost 4-3 goal in the last... And I need to go back and watch the video because I was there and I haven't had a chance to do this yet. But like, I swear to God, the corner kick that Angel City got that ultimately turned into the game-winning sequence, they were offsides. They didn't call it, and I was like, oh God, that's not going to end well. And sure enough, ball goes in, bang, bang. But Anthony, on the positive side for our show, we have this ridiculous streak that players who come on our show score at an outrageous rate. And it's one thing when it's like offensive players, like strikers or attacking midfielders.
Mm-hmm.
Esme Morgan was on the show last week, wasn't she, Anthony?
She was indeed.
Esme is a defender.
He is.
Who scored twice on Friday night.
Oh, my gosh. Hitters?
No. No. Score with her feet twice, even though she's damn near 6 feet tall. You'd think she would be scoring headers on set pieces. No. Recycled set pieces, where like initial action gets thrown out, put the ball back in. Esme's posted up on the back post, knocks it in.
That's dope.
She also grittied after.
All right, rate the gritty.
It was pretty good.
Okay.
It was like an 8.5, 9. It was pretty solid.
That's high quality right there.
It's the best you'll ever see from an English lady.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess in a Briton. So yeah, heck of a week for Esme. She adopted her cat Biscuit. She learned how to gritty. She scored twice, and then she gritty. Speaking of the gritty, Formula One, didn't think I'd use that as the transition. Formula One in Miami this weekend, Oscar Piastri a win. And Anthony, did you see any of the videos between Justin Jefferson and Oscar Piastri where the charismatic NFL superstar tried to teach the very shy, very reserved, very frankly boring Oscar Piastri how to gritty?
Yeah. And I'll give him an A for effort. But outside of that, he got some work to do. Got to get back to the lab, a little bit more reps.
Yeah.
And I think he'll have it down.
I think he's working on some other things. Seems to be working. He's winning races.
Yeah.
Kind of a crazy race. Some interesting strategy calls. Got a safety car that cost Max Verstappen a podium. Lewis Hamilton was ready to lose his mind because I think he realizes that Ferrari, while there's a lot of positives to being a Ferrari driver, one that's negative is you have to deal with Ferrari's strategy decisions, and they are freaking amateur hour. He was like literally losing it. Like, this is a 7-time world champion, a man who has been knighted, and he is like losing his mind on the team radio.
Hate that for Ferrari.
Hate that for Lewis. Ferrari, get it together. So that was that. Do you watch Kentucky Derby?
No.
I didn't either. Some horses ran fast. Some ran faster than others. There's your Kentucky Derby recap. Can't imagine why this segment's not sponsored. Nationals had a split this weekend. Closed things out with the win on Sunday. They, of course, are hosting Cleveland tonight, 6:45, against the Guardians down the street at Nats Park. And then there was all the NBA action, which we've been talking about intermittently throughout the day. We're going to talk about a little bit more here coming up. But, Anthony, NHL action. Did you watch the Winnipeg thing happen?
I didn't watch it live, but, man, I saw the replay, and oh, my gosh.
Like, it's so funny because I had this argument one time, like, in a major way with Chris Russell, and then it came up. He and I were talking, like, in between shows a couple weeks ago, and he was like, yeah, no, I remember you crushing me about this thing. And it was win probability. And I'm like, you don't understand how win probability works. Because at the time Winnipeg scored, so if you missed this happened. Winnipeg was down 3-1 entering the third period. They get a goal like pretty late to make it 3-2. And then they tie the game with 1.6 seconds left to force overtime. They ultimately win in a second overtime, deep into second overtime. So, and you like you see the win probability numbers, and it's like 99.6%. And what that means is that in that game, St. Louis wins 996 times out of 1,000. Because Winnipeg won doesn't mean the probability is wrong. That's actually why it's so miraculous that if we play that game out 1,000 times, 99.6% of the time, so 996 of the 1,000 times you play that game, if you have a 3-2 lead or a one-goal lead with 1.6 seconds to go, you're going to win. And frankly, Anthony, four times that you don't win feels 3-2 high. It actually feels 4-2 high. Like, it is an unbelievable, improbable thing that you are witnessing. And sure enough, they got it done. Absolutely bananas.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And did you see some of the videos on Blue Sky or Instagram of there was a hockey game going on and they were watching the Winnipeg Jets play? And I want to say when Winnipeg scored, the ref like skates around and hops into the team's like booth and like starts celebrating with it. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like,
this is like
what?
A youth hockey game and they were just like watching.
Oh, this
fans?
Is in the middle of a game.
In the middle of like a youth or a high school game or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Everybody celebrate. I said,
that's the community coming
together. Make it up.
And then they punch each other in the head to celebrate.
Yep.
Because there's decorum. There's ways you're supposed to do things, obviously. That's awesome. That's fantastic. All right, that's our weekend in review. Brought to you by
Nobody, Craig.
Nobody. When we get back, 6 o'clock, we We'll talk a little bit more about the NFL draft coming to D.C. We'll reset the top story of the day. You will hear from some of the participants and something that Roger Goodell said that got me thinking. We'll take your calls as well, 301-230-0980. And then we'll talk a little NBA coming up as well here on The Hoffman Show.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.